putting up that assignment that we have. And let's see if we can give you something to write on. And I hope you have something to write with. If you don't, please let us know so that we can have the usher give you a pen. All right. First thing to do on this, write your name. You need to come up back here. Social Security number. If you're in the military, Army ID. I'm teasing about that, but just need your name. All right, so if you notice, number one, what I'd like you to do is to write out Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. That's a verse that should be familiar to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And then when you do that, well, I'll give you a minute to write that out. Something about wages and sin and debt. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Now let me just say, whenever I've done this class in the past, all of these were cumulative, which meant that I could have asked any of those previous verses, but right now I won't do that for you. Okay, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. How many need more time? All right, let me just say regarding that 1 John 3, 4, that threw a loop for some people. The thing to remember about that is, number one, the reference in the event somebody were to say, where does it say that? And number two, that sin is the transgression of the law. That's the one thing you want to see, because when you're explaining what sin is, some people think that sin is just anything that goes against what you think. You know, everybody has their own truth. Your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. Well, the Bible says there is a standard, and that standard is the law. But that's not the verse tonight. Number two, or at least what I'd like you to do, is to write yes or no. And I'm particularly interested in those of you that are taking this training. Yes or no, did you write out a testimony? Okay? Did you write out a testimony? All right? What's that? Yes. Well, kind of, yeah. Unless you felt you needed to improve on that. But no, that's fine. But I'm particularly interested in those of you that are taking the class, that you are making sure you write out a testimony. All right? Now, if you would do this for me, would you hand that into the aisle? And Brother Mark, do you mind collecting those for me and giving that back to me? All right? Now, let's say Romans 6:23 together. Can we do that? Even a lot of unsaved people have heard this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right. So So we're going to stay on task in this. Now, one of the things that we are wanting you to do, tonight we're going to hear testimonies, but one of the things we are wanting you to do is to give that testimony that you've written out to an unsaved person. If I can get those from you, Mark. Thank you. And make it a point, if at all possible, this week. I mean, you can even go up to somebody, and or you're talking to somebody that you know, or you're not sure they're unsaved. You know, to say, I'm taking this class on how to train to be an evangelist. Not to be an evangelist, to be evangelistic. And I have written out a testimony, and I'm supposed to give this out to somebody. Can I share with you my testimony? And you just ask them. And sometimes they'll say yes, sometimes they'll say no. But most people, especially if it's somebody you know, will not argue with you over that. You know, as opposed to, you know, when you're witnessing, you know, I want you to sit right down here and I want to tell you something. You know?
Well, that's not a good idea. So you do want to share your testimony. All right? Now, I am going to put up here, I don't have my mic, do I? I'm sorry. I don't have it on, Patrick?
No, you don't.
Okay. The little red light's not flashing. Okay. All right, thank you. What I want to do now is just remind you a little bit. If you can go to that slide with the chart there, if you remember, just the chart is all I need. Well, we can go forward with them. All right.
The whole chart?
Yeah, the whole chart. All right. Now, this is what we're listening for. Okay, now, obviously, when you are talking to somebody, you know, you don't necessarily want to draw a diagram, which you could, I suppose. You know, here is what happened. This is my life before I was saved. And this was my conversion experience, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Now, let me also say this. And I realize these Sunday night services are a little bit different than what we normally do in a Sunday night service. But I did want to emphasize the goals of this training for evangelism. This is why I'm asking you, and we've already been given the people. And I have 15 people who are involved in doing this evangelism work. And we have 6 of us who are trainers. And what is it? 9 who are training. Patrick Zastro is a trainer, and he is training Joe Nimeskern, and he's also training Chris Albertson. Chris has just been dealing with some sickness, and he texted today and said he wouldn't be able to make it. But, you know, and Brother Joe is struggling with his knees right now. So, but matter of fact, Joe texted me a testimony, or sent me a copy of his testimony. And then Mary Beth is working under Sandy Zastro, and so this is the plan. And then also Rachel Kempker, she's going to try to be training her. Pastor Nathan is working with Mark Hyman. And for some reason, I wrote Mark Kempker. I don't know why, but that's not your name. And Karis is working with Lisa. And then Emma is working with Gladys, right, Emma? And then I am taking out with me Jeff Kempker and Dowie. So that is kind of, those are the 15 people. Yes. What's that? Yes. Mary Beth is going with
Sandy.
Sandy, yes, okay. Yes, so we're glad that we have that. Now, if you remember the training goals of this, is that
we are wanting our folks to know how to give a clear presentation of the gospel. I was thinking about this the other day, and I almost wanted to ask the question, how many of you, and I'm not going to ask this, but just think about it, how many of you would like to be a soul winner? Now, don't raise your hand, but that's the question. Now, some people don't care, but some people want to be a soul winner. Now, they may not know how to be a soul winner, but they want to be. The second opportunity is to give the gospel during this course of study. So now we are in our 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth week of our classes on this. And we are wanting from here on out to start giving the gospel to people. And so that is our goal, to provide Bible verses for memory. And of course, that's what this assignment sheet is. We want you to learn these verses. And sometimes, you know how it is with memory. You think, man, I don't know if I can learn that. But sometimes some of these verses that we have given already are very familiar verses in Christian circles. And a lot of people know the verses. They still don't share it, but we ought to know those verses. And then we want to provide homework on a weekly basis. That's why our homework for this next week is to take our testimonies and share it with hopefully a lost person. Now, you may find out, as I was telling this morning in Sunday school, that the person you're giving your testimony to may already be saved, but you don't know if they're saved. So really, it's somewhat of a boldness. I was thinking about Isaias down in Brazil. What's her last name? DeVitos, yeah. And he had prayed, he said, here's my prayer request. Pray that I would have boldness, filling the Holy Spirit and boldness that I might be able to preach his word. And you know, we all need that. So we do want to mention that there is this sense in which we're wanting to memorize these verses and do the homework. And to have opportunity to present the gospel three times. This is our goal. So if you're a trainee or a trainer, keep that in mind. You know, you say, well, I don't know if I can get this done by May 12th. Okay, just keep doing it until it happens. All right? So try to give the gospel three different times before completing the study. And to have an accountability partner, we're at that stage now in our going through this, 15 of us, and then to complete the memory work, homework. And here, I just want to remind you, don't miss more than three times. Because if you miss more than three times, you can still do this, but we are wanting to give a certificate for those who did not miss more than 3 weeks, because sickness happens and things come up. But we want to give a certificate to those who do the homework and who do not miss more than three times. All right? And I'm keeping track of that. You say, how do you keep track of that? Well, I'm not up here taking attendance, but I see who's filled out their form and what they're doing. All right? Now, looking at this testimony. Brother Chuck probably didn't have a clue what I was doing here, but I wanted to kind of give you a sense of that. We're going to hear some testimonies, and I wanted to have some folks give their testimony. We want you to, particularly if you are one of those 15 people, we're wanting to hear from you. If we have enough time, we'll hear others. Now, if everybody does 3 minutes, then that means 30 minutes for 10 people, right? So so I would have somebody who's written out their testimony, and I'm very interested. And if you would have your testimony, you would want to share. Who would like to go first? Yeah, Mark, come on up. Do you need it? No? Okay, good. All right. I do want a copy of what you've written out, because I might be doing your funeral someday. And I'm and I'm not kidding. I may be doing your funeral. And if I am doing your funeral, what a great opportunity for you to witness to those in the funeral home. All right? You might be doing my funeral, and I have that written out too. All right, go ahead, Mark.
Mark.
Is anybody going to keep time? All right, if we can have a timekeeper. Now, we're not going to probably stop you unless you really go long, okay? But I just want us to be alert to that. All right, go ahead, Mark.
Mark Ivan. I was raised in a Catholic home. God bless me with great parents. Great parents. But throughout my growing up, Catholic kid in a small town, you know, I sinned. I was drinking at an early age. Drinking and driving, I might add. But I had a lot of questions. And it was more of, we do it because the priest says so. And it was a tradition. And it was stuff like that. And it was just confusing to me. It's like I wanted those answers. I thrived for those answers. And throughout high school, I kind of, you know, had a crush on my wife. And she loved me like a brother, is what she told me. but I would, you know, want to spend as much time as I could with her, so I actually went to church with her and her family, and that kind of lit a fire underneath of me, because it, when one night the preacher had said, if you don't believe me, go look for yourself. Here it is. These are the answers that you're looking for. And so we went off to college, you know, kind of lost communication, and when I moved to Manhattan, we started dating, and I wanted to get married to my wife now. And so I went took my father-in-law to Freddy's, and he asked me if I was saved. And at that present time, of course, I wanted to get married to my wife, so I said, of course I am. And that was far from the truth. And so I immediately called my wife after that. I said yes to that, and I don't know what I said yes to. So she called her brother, who's a pastor, and that night he actually drove to Manhattan and helped me walk through what I needed. And that tug on my heart is something I've never felt before. And so we got married, and we came to church here at Faith, and actually Pastor Byford is the one who baptized me. And then so we left the church and went to go to her brother's church to support him, but that drive just was a little too much for us, and so we attended a church here in town again for a few years, and my walk with Jesus just grew stagnant, and I felt far from it. And it was actually when we sent our boys to Vacation Bible School here last summer that that fire was lit back in me that I wanted and I needed. And so when we left the parking lot, I told Lisa, like, this is where we need to be. Mm-hmm. And so from since then, my walk with Jesus has just been getting more and more and more. And I see it in my boys and I see it in my wife. And it's just, you know, that's a praise that I can give to Jesus for what he's done.
Amen.
So, that's all I got.
Thank you, Mark.
Exactly. 3 minutes.
There, 3 minutes. All right. What a blessing that is. And do you notice how he did that? He talked about before he was saved, what happened when he got saved, and how it's been since he's been saved. All right. Somebody else. Okay, Lisa, good.
I gotta say though, like, mine is different. So I was raised in a good Christian home. We went to a Baptist church my whole life, and so that's what I was used to, you know. At the age of 6, we had a missionary at our church, and that evening he was giving an invitational, and my brother, who is a preacher now, he preaches at a Baptist church in Blue Rapids. And he has always been a good kid, and so he was nudging me, like, Lisa, go forward. So I did, and, you know, I knew what I was doing. I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that I needed God. So I knew that my sin was, I was bound for hell, and I didn't want to go there. So I knew what I was doing. But after that, I was baptized. But being so young, I still didn't really completely understand what it meant to be saved. I wanted to please God, so I feel like I was a good kid, and I listened well to my parents, did my best to stay away from trouble, and life just went on. And then when I was 15, Mark and I and another friend, we were in a really bad car accident that nearly took my life, and that honestly a lot of doctors, everybody was surprised it didn't take my life, or the fact that I came out still normal, you know, like able to function, I guess. But it was during, I'm sorry, would you be mad at me if I just read this? It is long, but I'll try my hardest, okay? So I was life-flighted to Lincoln, Nebraska. I had over 40 fractures, multiple internal injuries, including a bruising in the frontal and temporal lobe, right temporal lobe of my brain, and a shearing in the corpus callosum. Doctors weren't giving my parents much hope in my surviving, but being my parents, but being the faithful people that they are, they knew that it wasn't up to the doctors. The doctors were telling my parents that me waking up would be like watching grass grow in July, and being in Kansas, we know grass doesn't grow well in July. So my brother, he was in Spain at that time doing missions work. He created a page for me on carepages.com. It's a page where you can go and tell people all about the patient, how they're doing, and just keep people updated. My brother was always asking for prayers for me, asking for specific prayers in different areas that I was needing at that time. And it seemed that every time he'd ask for prayers, within days, we'd see them answered. When Mom told him what the doctors had said about my waking up, he made a post asking for prayer for me to wake up. And that very same day, I woke up. It wasn't for long, but my eyes were open. God was telling my family then that he was in control. When I was moved up to the rehab unit, I was still in and out of a coma. When your brain is healing, it can cause your body to do all sorts of moving. I had over 40 fractures, so I had a 24-hour nurse in there always having to calm my body down, because also in rehab, they can no longer like restrain you to the bed. But so my mom, that day, she was stressed out, and so she went out of my room and just to get a good breath, and this older man by the name of Virgil, he came over and he said, I don't know who that little boy or girl is, but I know it's serious. And another lady wheeled herself over and told Mom that we feel a miracle happening in there. Then every time they'd bring me from my room to the dining hall, Virgil would say, bring that girl over to sit by me. Or during therapy, I'd have to take part in playing games or whatever they were doing. And I was a grouch. That was also a thing with your brain healing, like it was hard. But Virgil was always there hyping me up. And then I became known as the Miracle Girl. So when people would come to the hospital asking for my room number, they'd say, oh, we're going to see the Miracle Girl. And so I believe that Virgil was my angel, because the day that I was released from the hospital, he too was released. And then not long after I got home from the hospital, I had an uncle who was killed in a car accident. The driver fell asleep and hit a guardrail, sending it through the passenger window and killing my uncle. That impacted me really hard. So my uncle was a great man. You know, my thoughts were, why him? I had a Ford Explorer land on top of me, and I'm here to talk about it. I became angry. I was already angry because I was 15, and I was in a wheelchair, so I couldn't go downstairs to my room. I was having to sleep with my mom. I was angry because everyone treated me different. My friends at school that were my friends before the accident, I was different, so they didn't know how to treat me afterwards. And the ones that weren't my friends before, they all just thought I was weird because I was different. And so then when my uncle was killed, I got angry with God. And I went to church only because I had to. I wouldn't participate in church activities. I quit praying. And it's not that I ever quit believing in God. I just quit believing that he was as great as everyone, you know, as I was always taught he was. I blamed him for my pain. And then there was a Sunday evening service. And I don't remember exactly what was being preached that night, but there was something that opened my eyes again to see that I wasn't blaming the right person. And I was brought to tears, and that night I resurrendered my life to God. Since then, I did get rebaptized by Pastor Byford. I kind of felt that maybe I was never truly saved until that moment of really feeling God in my life. But now thinking back, I still believe I was truly saved at the age of 6, because I did understand that I was a sinner bound for hell.
But since returning to church here at Faith, my relationship with Christ has truly grown, and I'm so excited to see where God is leading my family. When Christina and Dowie gave their testimonies, Christina mentioned the verse Luke 12:48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." So that was my first time hearing that verse, and it really hit me, because I've been given a second chance at life. And my little Grady, when he was born, I knew there was something wrong with him, because when he breathed, you could see every single rib in his little body. But I kept taking him to the doctors. They kept telling me, no, he's fine. Give him tummy time. Let him cry. I did all that, and it never got better. We took him to the ER. They did a chest x-ray, and it came back. His heart was really enlarged, and they didn't know why. It was the size of my fist at almost 2 months, and they didn't know why. So we ended up getting flown by jet to Children's Mercy, where they found he had a narrowing in the left aorta. The surgeon told us that he wanted to wait a couple days to get Graydon strong enough before they did the surgery. Then about an hour later, he came in and said, no, we've got to get this done now. God was with my little Grady since day one, and we knew God was with us, keeping us strong in our faith. When I was young, my favorite animal was frog. I loved frogs. So when I was in the hospital from my accident, everyone was sending stuffed frogs. In fact, they ended up moving me to a bigger room in rehab just to fit all of my frogs. Then when Graydon was up at Children's Mercy, the only pacifier I had packed with me was a green one with a frog on it. And in his room on the wall was a picture with a frog. And then there was a lady, she was a church-going lady who came around visiting people in their rooms, you know. And she asked me if I knew what frogs stood for. I didn't. Fully rely on God. And once again, I was in tears. We knew our little Graydon was going to be okay. That, you know, God has his ways of increasing our faith in just some of the simplest ways. So Luke 12:48 has really made me see how much I've been given, and I'm ready to do my part in giving back.
Good. All right. Very good. What a blessing. How long was that? You're not supposed to do that. No, I wasn't going to stop her, but that's a wonderful testimony. But you do have to bring that down, you know.
It's just so hard because, like, that is, you know, I was raised in church, so I feel like I've always known God. I've always known, you know. So then when it's things like that where I can see that he has done work in my life, like, people need to see that from me, too, because...
Amen.
And
I would say this, in the event that, you know, because there's no hard and fast rule there, you don't have to witness to somebody in one sitting. You know, maybe the first time you talk to them might be your testimony. And then, you know, and then you might be able to say, can I come back sometime and share why I feel this was important in my life? So it's not like you've sinned, you know. No, you. But I'm just saying that depending on the purpose of what we want to use our testimony. All right. I still have some folks who are in my class that have not agreed to come up yet. So who would that be? Want me to start calling? All right. Okay, Patrick, do you want to come up? Were you waving for Sandy or were you waving for... Both, okay.
All right.
Your name is not on the list. Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind, Russell. Thank you. All right. Okay, no, that's fine. Okay.
Nobody's making anybody do anything. What a blessing you did. I mean, that spoke to my heart.
It was awesome. It was good. Are you ready? You sure you're ready? All right. I grew up, I grew up as a young child. I was born and raised in Long Beach, California.
I consider it a small little city outside of Los Angeles. Go figure, it's not that small. I remember my parents reading Bible stories and getting me stories of the Bible on tape. But I didn't grow up in church. That's really the only church that I knew. My mother did take me to a Lutheran church once, but never again. My parents dabbled in a few other things, but it never lasted. So really, the only church that I ever really went to, and I kind of use it as a joke, but the only church I ever went to was the church of the NFL, or the church of the MLB, or the NHL, if you know where I'm coming from with those. You know, whatever was on Sunday, that's what I was doing. Okay, I always thought I had better things to do on Sunday mornings rather than go to church. So growing up, I was always into something and didn't care whether it was right or wrong. I joined the Army in 1987. After all of my basic training and such, I was assigned to Fort Riley. I did all the things that soldiers did then. Smoking, drinking, cursing, you know, this was the late 80s. All right. In 1988, I met my wife, or I met Sandy, and we got married in 1989. We were not going to church, nor did we have a desire to. In 1990, one of Sandy's friends invited her to go to some youth group meetings with Faith Baptist Church. Little did I know that she had received the Lord after one of those meetings. She and her friend had invited me to a youth group meeting, and I went. Had a lot of fun at the youth meeting. Brother Joe Willis was the group leader. And at the end of the meeting, he gave a challenge. I don't remember what he discussed about the challenge, but I do remember that he asked if we were sure that our sins were forgiven and whether we were going to heaven. I couldn't raise my hand. A few months later, the church had a harvest festival, and Sandy and I went. After the fellowship, everything was cleaned up. Joe asked me to follow him because he wanted to talk to me. He led me into the church nursery and showed me that if I were to die, I would go to hell because of my sins. I knew that was a real possibility because I was getting ready to deploy to Desert Storm. I think in a few weeks or a few days. He also showed me how Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins. That night I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Since then, the Lord has allowed me to quit drinking, which at the time I did a lot, quit smoking, clean up my language. I saw the Lord working in areas of my life that I thought would never change. I even had a desire to witness to others. I'm going to go a little bit long because I want to share this event. But the next day after I had gotten saved, I had to go to the field, so I had to meet my platoon sergeant in the motor pool. And I remember I had the Humvee already, and here comes Sergeant Curtis, and I'm like, "Sergeant Curtis, how was your night last night?" And he said, "Yeah, it was fine." And I said, "Well, I accepted the Lord last night. Can I tell you about it?" And unfortunately, he said, "Not right now, Z. Get in the Humvee. We need to go." But during that entire time, I was trying to get him, "Hey, let me tell you about this," because it was a burden. So the Lord put a desire to witness to others. He showed blessings, both during good times and bad times. Growing up, I was selfish. Now I have a desire to help others. Before, I would ignore others. Now there is a concern for others. Sandy and I are closer now than we would have been without God in our lives. And at this point, we've been married 35 years. And if you know anything about the military, 35 years after being in for 20 is many ways rare. So it was only because of God. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Wow, you gave the extra. Okay. The extra blessing of that. That's good. All right. Brother Chuck, do you want to come lead in song? That song? All right. Let's do Redeemed. How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed
in
by the Blood of the Lamb.
520.
Thank you, brother. Sandy, I think you are going to come up next, right? All right.
So the last time I gave my testimony, it took 10 minutes, so I pulled it down, and now I think it's too short. But we'll see what we've got. As a child, I was taught that God was real, and the Bible is a special book to be respected. I was not expected to go to church, but I was allowed to go if I wished. So I rode the bus to Sunday school. I attended several vacation Bible schools at different churches. And although I learned the Ten Commandments and the books of the Bible so that I could get those prizes, I didn't take it very seriously. When I was 16, we had some visitors that said that they were speaking of godly things, but what they said didn't match the things that I remembered learning at church. Around the same time, a friend invited me to a teen activity at her church, so I went, and the teen group leader asked if I was 100% sure that I would go to heaven if I died. My thought of that was that nothing is 100%. But it did get me to think about God and about remembering those things that I learned as a child. So comparing that with the verses that the teen leader showed us, I had to face some hard truths. My life was a mess. Nobody had to convince me that I was a sinner. I knew that I was. And every attempt that I made to make it better just made things worse. And I finally realized that I couldn't do it myself. I needed Jesus. So I told God, I give up. I'm going to do things your way. I had to learn a lot about what God's way was. But from the moment I made that decision, my life started to change. Some things changed faster than others, but looking back, I can see how much my life has changed, and now I take learning the Bible very seriously, and I know for 100% that when I die, I'm going to heaven.
All right. Sorry. I'm going to get in trouble with the sound people. All right. Who else? Hey, Emma, I don't think you signed up, right? Yeah, so why don't you come up and give me a hand? Okay, good. That's all right. You got 3 minutes. That's all right. Just do your best.
Well, when I was growing up in the Philippines, 95% are Catholic. And in our town, there's only two families that they call Protestant. And when I'm growing up, around like 10 or 11 years old, my dad, first time, he brought us with the rest of our siblings to the church. And my mom is a Catholic, but not practicing Catholic. And also my dad is a backslider. We don't have a church in our town, and that's the reason why I don't go to church. I don't know anything. But when this new church, Kabatuan Fundamental Baptist Church, came over, that's the first time my dad brought us. After going to the church, I was like 10, 11 years old. I'm so eager to learn about the Bible, the story. And one afternoon, we're so excited about our youth group, and our pastor's wife, we call it Bible woman, asked a few of the ladies. She says that if you will die, since everybody is a sinner, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the penalty is going to hell. When you are in hell, it's burning and it's hot and forever and ever. And for a child, for sure, you'll get scared. You don't want to go to hell. And that night, I can't sleep. I said, oh, I don't want to die. I don't want to go to hell. And I did not realize that I really need to know the Lord Jesus, or to accept the Lord. Like, to realize that I am a sinner. All I know is that I'm afraid about going to hell. And it kept on going back to my mind for a few days. And and one night I said, Lord, I am a sinner. I need you to be my Savior. It's only through your blood that I will be paid for my sin. And that night I accepted the Lord. And since then I have desired to serve Him. And I saw it with my sisters that they grow up without the Lord. They got married for all this unbeliever. And when I was 13, 14, I don't really care for boys, but they told, our Bible woman says, start praying for the guy that you'll bring to your life that needs to be a Christian. And that's in my mind, and I prayed about it, that the Lord is going to give me a tall, godly man, even though they're poor, yet God knows my heart. And when I met Joe, first I don't like him, but yet the Lord worked in my heart that since I was young, He told, I've been praying for this godly man, and tall, and he loves the Lord. I said, well, do I need to get what I want or what the Lord's want? And I'm so thankful that I followed the Lord's will. And for 43 years, we start loving each other. We have 3 children. And the Lord is always good. And He provides our needs. And He is in everything. Always, always good.
Very good. What a one. So Mary Beth, you're the last one on my list here that needs to come up. Well, we'll see how long it takes you. Then. We'll have somebody else time her. Got it. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Mary Beth.
So my mom and dad were wonderful Christian people. We even ate at the kitchen table every night. We would go to church every Sunday. I accepted the Lord when I was 12 years old. In 79, I was baptized, but something was not right. I was very, very rebellious, and it got me into a lot of trouble. But I always knew that God loved me. After my first husband died, I got involved with a horrible, horrible, horrible man. Thank God I didn't marry him. He got me into a world of drugs, alcohol. I actually was running drugs for him. They called it a drug mule. I didn't fly or anything. I was driving all over Kansas, and nobody ever suspected me, you know. And one night, I remember I got on my knees and I said, God, help me. I know you love me, just help me. And the minute I said that, a SWAT team came in, and there was seven of us that got busted for a bunch of drugs in the trailer. I was told by my county attorney that if I testified for this man that got me all caught up in this crazy stuff, I was looking at 7 to 14 years in prison. And by the grace of God, he said, today must be your lucky day. And I said, how's that? He said, because if you don't testify for him, we're only going to give you 3 years, you're off paper, and you can go on with your life. I said, I'll take it. So, I lost everything. I lost the love of my children. I lost my family. But the only person I didn't lose was God. And my mother. My mother prayed for me every single day. And I guess I feel like that's why her and I were so close. I feel still close to my mother. And so I was able to be the Bible in prison for these women because they go, why are you reading your Bible? And some of them didn't even own a Bible. So I feel like God, that's where God wanted me to be, because he wanted me to rely on him, because all day long you're on a cot and you're just looking up. You got a lot of time to think about things. And when I, my mother would always send me this verse in Proverbs. 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own thine own understanding. In all his ways acknowledge him. And you know, I found such a comfort and a peace to know that my mother was the only one that didn't give up on me. So when I did walk out, my verse, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I knew that he was with me. I knew that I was doing the right thing. Yes, I backslide. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I know that he died for my sins, but I feel like he's given me a second chance. And I think that's why prison and jail ministry is such a burden on my heart, because these people are so lost in there. And when I left prison, and then I'll finish, all the guards lined up when I left, and they said, you were the happiest prisoner we have ever had in this prison. And I go, it wasn't me. It was the love of God that you saw through me. So, but, yep. How long was that?
Not too bad. All right. Now, Russell, you want to get involved in this? Okay, well, come on up and share what you have. You able to get up here okay? Okay, do you need any help?
I'll probably stand
Can I trip you? Or no, I won't do that. Okay.
All right. I just want to bless everyone here and thank you for the time you're going to share this testimony with me. The first 12 years of my life was normal. I had two brothers, a sister, and my dad was a high school football coach and teacher. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. We were always a very happy family. And we didn't go to church as often as we should have, but we did go to church. But everything changed on July 21st, 1970. My dad and me had gone to a softball game that he was playing in, and we got there. We were running late, and he ran up, grabbed the bat, and got up to bat. Hit it all the way up to the fence, ran to first base, went to his knees. Over dead.
Mm.
35 years old, and here I was, 12 years old, oldest person in the family of the kids, so I went from being a teenager to being a caregiver in a matter of minutes. Not being surprised like that, you don't know how traumatic it is, but it was very traumatic for me. Anyway, the next 12, from the time I was 12, 25, my life was all over. I was a sinner, but I still had contact with religious friends, is what I call them. And they kind of get me on the right track, and I follow that track. They start discussing with me about baptism and salvation and everything, and so. What I did was one day on the weekend, I was just driving around town looking at all the churches and noticed this little church just about like this one. I thought, well, I'm going to go in, they're having service, but I was wearing dirty clothes and everything. I've been working out, planting. I came in and sat there through the sermon and I met the nicest preacher I'd ever met. His name was Mitch Whittington. And he took me under his arm and we went through the Bible and he taught me how what I need to do for salvation, and I know Jesus is the only way to salvation, and I'm trying my best now that I've found a church I'm very happy with. I love the people here. I might be in and out quite a bit, and I do appreciate all the prayers for my wife, Connie, and myself. We've had tons of medical problems this year, but I have shared also with Preacher Byford how I've been blessed here, and I know God's Spirit is in here among us, and I feel real positive about this is a church where God has helped and keeps us going in the right direction. And so I did accept Jesus Christ on middle of June 1983. So that's, I could do a whole a dictionary. There's so many things in between there with having a single mom taking care of me and living out on a farm where I ended up doing all the farming. So anyway, I've appreciated the other testimonies that I heard, and each one of them touched me.
Amen. Thank you so much, Russell. As expected, we're out of time. But thank you for those testimonies. And maybe you would like to give a testimony on some various times. Let me know, and we'll work you in some of our services. I know that could be a blessing for people to hear. I was talking to a lady the other day. I was mentioning Sunday school that was giving me a health assessment. And so we got talking about the Lord, and she said, "You know, I have such a story." And she said, "You know, this is what I think
that churches ought to be doing is having people tell their story. And I said, you know what? That's exactly what we're going to do this Sunday night. So praise the Lord for that. Actually, we have some folks who are here or that are in this class for various good reasons. They're not here, but they, you know, will hopefully we'll get to hear their testimonies at some time. All right. Well, next week, what I want you to do is I want you, and this is for everybody, tell your testimony to somebody who is lost. Now, I don't know how you're going to make that happen, but do your best and say, now, can I talk to you about my life? And one of the things that's wonderful about a testimony, nobody can disagree with your life. You know, they may disagree with Bible verses, but they don't know what's happened in your life. And what an opportunity that is to share your faith. Well, let's have Brother Chuck come and lead in one more song. And I won't cut you off after one verse in this if you want to go a little bit longer, but we'll close after this song.
Well, it's been a blessing to me. You never know what somebody has gone through or is going through or will be going through. And so to hear somebody, which to stand up here and to be completely vulnerable, is to be commended.
Amen.
It's a lot harder than it looks. And so coming from this guy, I've been blessed tonight to hear each one of the journeys that each one of you have shared and how that has affected your walk with the Lord, most definitely. And I know that somebody hearing these stories will truly be pointed to Christ. It's amazing to see the difference that happens in someone's life. When they truly accept Jesus, it affects your thought life, it affects your behaviors, and people will notice that. People will see Jesus in you when you proclaim Him. So with that being said, let us turn to number 328, Only
Him. Hymn number 328, Only Trusting Him, and we'll do the first couple of verses of this hymn as we remain seated. Hymn number 328.
Brother, and that's the thing that we have to remember. There are still people getting saved. If not, the Lord would come back. And so if He came back, and if He were to just let people stay unconverted, then why would He leave us on this earth? So He wants people saved. So don't be hesitant to share your faith with others. And this is why I enjoy these testimonies, because that shows that God still saves sinners. Let's pray together. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this evening, and we ask that You would just work in our hearts. Your Word tells us that even in the end times, that because of the love of many, the iniquity will abound.
And I pray that you would help us to realize that without you, Lord, we can do nothing. Thank you for these testimonies. Thank you for the way you have worked in our hearts. Bless us now. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.